All right, I will say a good morning, a good night, everyone. Hopefully everyone had a beautiful and uplifting first days of Yom Tov and Shabbos. Yash Koach to Moshe for the beautiful Shacharis and uplifting Hallel. You know, it's missed that Hallel a lot over the Yom Tovim. But in Yerzeh Shalom Lizocha, to have it Bekarov and Halavai in Yerushalayim together, all of us in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're picking up, hopefully everybody is keeping up with the daf, as I'm sure everyone is. We began yesterday a beautiful perek, an incredibly important and halacha lemaisa perek in Masechah Shabbos, as it is one of the most pivotal prakim when dealing with the halachos of Bishul. So we are picking up on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph 37a, literally the top line. So remember, again, we'll say just one piece of important information to reorient ourselves, is that there was a fundamental machlokes in the Mishnah regarding the topic of the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah talking about Shehiyah, or is the Mishnah talking about Chazara? So remember, again, two different ways to understand the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah telling me that in order to maintain a food on an open fire going into Shabbos, that the fire, the heat source, must be grufa or ketuma? Remember again, grufa meaning removed. Ketuma means covered with ash. But the idea being that one is blunting the ability of the heat source to cook, thereby obviating any concern of shemi yichata, that one may come to stoke the flame. So is it talking about shehiyah, or is it talking about chazara? Is it talking about ultimately going ahead and returning food to the fire on Shabbos? Meaning that in order to return food to the stovetop, let's say, the stovetop or the heat source would have to be grufa or ketuma. But in terms of shehiyah, in terms of maintaining food from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, according to that approach, ultimately, again, nothing would have to be done with the heat source itself. So remember, again, this is a machlokus between Chananya and the Rabbanan. Again, just a little bit of chazar from yesterday's daf. This is machlokus in Chananya and the Rabbanan. Chananya holds that as long as food is cooked, kemaychal ben drusoi, as long as food is 1/3 cooked at the onset of Shabbos, you don't have to do anything with the heat source. You could leave the oven, you could leave the stovetop, or the oven, really it's the stovetop. You could leave the heat source as is, and you can maintain food on that flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. According to Chananya, the only time that you require grufa or ketuma is halacha lemaisa when you want to return food to the heat source on Shabbos. That's when there's an issue. According to the Rabbanan, on the other hand, no, in order to go ahead and maintain food on the heat source, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, that heat source must be grufa or ketuma. It must either be removed or it must be covered with ash. Those are the two different possibilities. So remember, we'll say that's the machlokes in Mishnah. That's all chazara from yesterday. To which the Gemara says, top of Lamed Zayin. The Olam Eimelucha, Lahachzir Tinam, in reality, let's assume that the Mishnah is talking about chazara. And here's how you have to read the Mishnah. Vichisrei Mechzra V'hachi Katoni, the Mishnah is missing a word in here. Here's how it has to be read. Kira Shesikua Bekash V'gavava. If you went ahead and you fired up a kira, your stove, with kash and gavava, kash is straw, gavava is stubble, machzirin alea tafshil, you are permitted to go ahead and do chazara. We'll see, we'll define the parameters. Begefes ube'itzim, however, if you went ahead and you fired it up with gefes and itzim, remember again, gefes, as Rashi pointed out in yesterday's daf, is what is left over after pressing of olives and grapes, like the olive grapes, olive pulp or grape pulp. Eitzim is wood. Lo yachzir, person should not do chazara, ad shigrov or ad shiitin esayfer, until you go ahead and either remove the heat source or until you cover it with ash. So also remember again, we also saw in yesterday's daf, the distinction between kash and gavava versus gefes and eitzim. So kash and gavava, pretty much as soon as you go ahead and you kindle it, It burns up, right? However, again, so therefore there's nothing really to stoke anymore. Masha'inkin, gefes, and eitzim, that remains for a little while. Therefore, there's a concern of shem yichate. Avalishos mashin, but aloch lemais, according to this approach, to maintain food going into a fire from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, afapi she'inu garov ve'inu katum. Ultimately, again, you could maintain it on an open fire, even if the coals or the heat source is not removed or not covered with ash. I will say, just to contemporize this a little bit, so you understand what's happening over here. So just to put this in a modern context, the Shaila Gemara is dealing with over here is, I want to have hot food on Shabbos. So the Shaila now is, can I maintain food on an open flame Friday afternoon, let's say going into Shabbos night? Or do I have to somehow cover the heat source? A blech. Remember, this sugya that we're dealing with over here is the sugya of a blech. How do you go ahead and maintain food Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos? You're just going to send the machlokas once more. Chananya says that you could do as long as your food is one third cooked at the onset of Shabbos, you could maintain it on an open flame. It's not a problem. According to Chananya, the only time you have to cover your flame or somehow modify your heat source is if you want to return food back to the fire on Shabbos. So according to Chananya, let's say I want to go ahead and I want to have soup on Shabbos night. Chananya says as long as that soup is one third cooked at the onset of Shabbos, you are good to go. The only time you would have to cover your fire is, let's say, if you want to on Friday night return that soup back to the flame, then you would need a covered flame on Shabbos. Again, liquids might not be the best example of this, but we'll get into more of this. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, knows that halacha lemaisa, even to maintain food from Friday afternoon going into Shabbos, that heat source must be altered. And altered either in that it's removed or that it's covered. So for example, that's what we do today. We have a blech. Blech is when you cover your heat source. According to the Chum, the concern is that if you're just using a regular heat source on Shabbos, you may come to go ahead and adjust it. Adjusting the flame on Shabbos ultimately is one of the lametes malachas. So therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting over here right now that the Mishnah is talking about chazara. So the Gemara says, mahin mashin, and what can you maintain on a flame erev Shabbos going into Shabbos? Beishame omrim chamin, avalo tavsho. Beishame says the only thing you're allowed to maintain is water. Or I should say heated water, but not food. And Beisilo, however, Beisilo holds that you could maintain both heated water as well as food. And this, that which we said, that if your flame, if your heat source is either covered or removed, that you could do chazara, lav ledivrei hakoli. This is not according to everyone. Elo machlokes beishamai ubeisilo. Rather, it's a machlokes. She beishamai omrim notlin velo machzirin. Because beishamai says you could take food off, but you cannot return it on Shabbos. Ubeisilo omrim af machzirin. And beisilo says you could even go ahead and return it back to the flame on Shabbos. Now we'll say, remember again, beisilo says you could return it back. When can you return it back? That is only if the heat source is either covered or removed, right? So remember again, I will say, and we know from Hilchos Chazara that the truth is the halachos allowing one to return food to a stovetop on Shabbos are actually much more complicated than being stated over here. Again, we're gonna build out the framework. Right now, we're focusing on the initial part of this discussion. Initial part of this discussion is, what does your stovetop have to look like to allow either A, for shihia, which means maintaining food Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, and or for chazara, returning food to the stovetop on Shabbos? That's the first part of this framework. After we establish that, then we can figure out the other conditions necessary for both. Tashma, Darim Bichalba, Amar Bichalba, Bar Gurya. Shabbi Chalba says the name of Chalba Bar Gurya. Amarav, Lo Shonu Ela Al Gaba. They both say this is very important. When we have a discussion about returning food to the stovetop, to the heat source on Shabbos, that is only a din in the stovetop. Aval usocha aser. But you are never permitted to return food into an oven on Shabbos. And Rabbi say, this is halacha lemaisa. I'm going to jump a little bit. You are never, under any circumstances, on Shabbos, permitted to put food back into an oven. This is very important because, you know, some of the newer appliances have what's called Sabbath mode. So it's a little bit misleading. Sabbath mode is helpful for yomtiv, but does not allow you to return food on Shabbos. The only thing you could do with your oven on Shabbos is look at it. That's number one. You could admire it if you happen to have nice appliances. But what you could do is you could put your food in your oven before Shabbos, and let's say set a timer or something else, and then you could take it out on Shabbos. right? But again, even when you take food out of the oven on Shabbos, you have one shot, right? You go in, you get everything out, and that's it. There is no back and forth in an oven on Shabbos. Yom Tov, of course, is different because Yom Tov, one is permitted to go ahead and heat food. One is permitted to cook food on Yom Tov. But halacha l'maisa on Shabbos, so even, for example, Shabbos morning, even if one put their oven on Sabbath mode. So Shabbos morning, we'll discuss ways that you could go ahead and heat up food on a blech or on a hot plate, but there is never a license to put food back into an oven on Shabbos. Very important halacha. That's what Rabbi Chelbo is saying. Rabbi Chelbo is saying that halacha l'maisa, the most you could do is put oven back on a stovetop. And even then, again, the stovetop has to be modified in some way. But to put food back into the oven, ultimately, again, is going to be asr. So the Mishnah like this. So if you say that our Mishnah, if you say that our Mishnah is talking about chazara, returning food, then it makes sense ultimately again that the Mishnah is making a distinction between Rabbi Chelbo's making a distinction between items you could put back on the stove versus items you could put into the stove. But if you say that the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, Mali Tocha, Mali Al Gaba, but if we're talking about Shehiyah, which is ultimately, again, the ability to maintain food on a heat source from Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, the truth is you're allowed to put food in the oven on Erev Shabbos and allow it to be maintained there into Shabbos. The only issue is that when you go out to retrieve it, you have one opportunity to get everything out and can't go back and forth. To which the Gemara says, "Mi savet Rabbi Chaba reishakai." Do you think Rabbi Chaba is commenting on the first part of the Mishnah? Asifakai. Rabbi Chelbo is talking about the end of the Mishnah. Rashi says the Ari Bichazora that Inach Inami, when Rabbi Chelbo makes his comment that you could only use the stove top, but you can't use the inside of the stove, that was referring to the second part of the Mishnah that was referencing Chazora. That when it comes ultimately to going ahead and returning food to the heat source, halacha lemaisa, one could only do that on top of the fire. We'll call it the stove top for our purposes. But one can never return food into the oven itself. Ubeisila omrin af machzirin, and Beisila says you could even do chazara. That's where Rabbi Chelbo comes along. That's the seifa. Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Chaim Bar Gurya, Amar Rav lo shana ela al gaba, aval tocha aser. So we'll say it turns out that Rabbi Chelbo is coming to comment on the seifa that the end of the Mishnah, which according to everyone speaks about chazara, where Rabbi Shammai says you're permitted to return food to the heat source even on Shabbos, again with certain criteria. Rabbi Chelbo comes along and says that's only food on top of the fire, right? Not food into the oven itself. Tashma. Gemara goes weiter. Beis kiros hamat imos. Achas grufa ketuma. La'achas shena grufa ketuma. This is actually a very interesting case. If you have two ovens, now Rashi points out over here that the two ovens which are connected, so two side-by-side ovens that Rashi points out are have an earthenware wall in between them. So either it means, but Pashas, what it means is that the ovens have a shared middle wall. So two ovens right next to each other have a shared middle wall, or just their two walls are right next to each other. But what's the issue? So achas grufa ketuma va'achas shen grufa aveina ketuma. So one of the ovens is grufa ketuma, which means one of the ovens has the heat source either totally cleared out or covered with ash, thereby blunting the cooking ability of that oven, and the other one does not. So what's the halacha? Mashin agabe grufa ketuma, vein mashin al shena grufa vein ketuma. You could go ahead and maintain food from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos on the oven that is grufa and ketuma, but you cannot do so on the oven that is not grufa ketuma. Umahin mashin, and what can you maintain ultimately again on the oven, on its stove, I should say, on the stove that's grufa ketuma? Beishame omrim veloklum. Beishame says nothing. Obeisila omrim chamin avalal tavsho. Beisila says you could maintain heated water, but not food. Akar, what happens if you removed the food from the stove that is grufa and ketuma? Divrei HaKol lo yachzer. Everyone agrees that you cannot go ahead and return the food to that stovetop, even though the stove in question itself is grufa and ketuma. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These words Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says, Beishamai omrim chamin avalotavshil. Beishamai says this applies ultimately again to heated water, but not to cooked food. Or Beisila omrim chamin vetavshil. Beisila says no, halacha lemais, you're permitted even with both cooked water and cooked food. Beishamai omrim not lin avalomachzirin. Beishamai says you could take something off the stove, but you cannot return it. Or Beisila omrim af machzirin. And Beisila says you could even return it. So I amrit bishlama lishos tinan. So I'll say, if you say that our Mishnah, remember again, both sides, we're still focused on one core question. The one core question is, what is the topic of our Mishnah? Remember again, here's what our Mishnah told us. If you want to use your stovetop on, if you want to use your stovetop on Shabbos, it must be grufa or kituma. So let's go with what we know. We know that if you want to use your stovetop on Shabbos, you must alter it in some way. The Mishnah gives you two possibilities of altering it. Grufa, which means remove the heat source, remove the coals, remove the wood. Or kituma, blanket the heat source with a covering of ash, thereby blunting the cooking ability. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is, what is the Mishnah referring to? Is the Mishnah telling me that the stove must be grufa or kituma in order to maintain food from Friday afternoon going into Shabbos? Telling me that halacha lemaisa, in order to maintain food on a stovetop from Friday into Shabbos, must be grufa or kituma? Or is it saying, no, from Friday into Shabbos, you don't need to alter your stove at all. As long as your stove, as long as your food is cooked, kimaychel ben drusai, is at least one third cooked, we're not nervous that you're going to manipulate the heat source. Therefore, you don't have to change your stovetop at all. The only time you have to alter your stovetop is when on Shabbos, you want to be able to return food to the stovetop. Then the stovetop must be grufa or kituma. So we'll say that's the tension over here. The first approach is the approach of Rabbanon. The second approach is the approach of Hananya. So it says the Gemara. So now we'll say, now we just have this further machlokes, Rabbi Yehud, Rabbi Meir. See if you say that our Mishnah is talking about Shehiya. Mas nisin mani, who does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Yehudihi. The Rabbi said, the truth is the Mishnah reflective of Rabbi Yehuda, as we just mentioned before. But if you say the Mishnah is talking about Chazora, Masnis and money, then whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, or Lo Rabbi Meir, doesn't reflect either of the two aforementioned opinions. E Rabbi Meir, Kasha, the Beishamah, Bechad, the Beisil, Bedarti. Because if it's Rabbi Meir, then we have a problem according to Beishamah in one case, according to Beisil in two cases. E Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Grufa, Ktuma. And if it's Rabbi Yehuda, ultimately again, the Mishnah, the statement Rabbi Yehuda doesn't work with the Mishnah statement of Grufa Ketuma, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Li'olam emelecha lahachzir tinan. I will say the Gemara now is suggesting that our Mishnah is talking about Chazora, which again, just so you get your shittos down, which means that the Mishnah reflects the view of Chananya, that Chananya holds as long as food is cooked kimaychol ben jerusai at the onset of Shabbos, you need not alter your heat source, your stovetop at all. And the only time you have to go ahead and alter your stovetop is when? For Chazara purposes. If you want to go ahead and return food back to the stove on Shabbos, your stovetop must be grufa or kituma. So the Gemara says, now watch this. The Omelech Allah Hachzir Tinan, the Tana Didan and the Tana of our Mishnah, Starvalok Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Upalagale Bechada, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one case, and argues Rabbi Yehuda in another case. How so? Starvalok Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Bechamin Vitavshil, Vinotlin Umachzirin, he agrees ultimately again with Rabbi Yehuda, in that halacha lemaisa, both by cooked water and cooked food, you have the ability to remove it from the stove and return it. Upaligale bechada, and he argues in one case, the ilutana didan savar lishos, afa pi she'enu gara fakatum, because our time of our Mishnah holds that you could do shehiya even if the stovetop is not garoth and katum. Rabbi Yehuda savar belishos nami garoth or katum in. Ilolo, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha lemaisa, even for shehiya, the stovetop must be grufa or kituma. Good. So we'll say, so I just want to point out, the Gemara does, that's the end of the sugya, right? So remember again, the sugya that began with the Gemara yesterday about what is the Mishnah talking about? Is the Mishnah talking about shehiya, or is the Mishnah talking about chazara? Does the Mishnah reflect the view of the Rabbanan or of Chananya? That sugya just ended now. So you just ended now. But the truth is, we don't exactly know what the Mishnah is like. So what we're going to do is you're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch how this plays out. But interestingly enough, this is all in Siman Reish Nun Gimel. And all of the cases we're going to discuss are actually all mentioned in Siman Reish Nun Gimel, all in the same Sif, all in Sif Aleph. So what we're just going to do is we're going to finish up the Gemara, Emir Tzashem, Mishra Tov, Mitzlachas, and then we'll go ahead and see the Shulchan Aruch. So again, don't leave until we get to the Halacha Lamaisa, which we'll get to the end of that, because again, I'm both saying, this is Kor Hilcho Shabbos. Kor Hilcho Shabbos. See, Bailu, Mao Lismoch Ba. So it was another interesting shayla. So are you permitted, Rabbi say, what happens about the following situation? Let's say you have a stovetop. That is, you have a stove, you have an oven. That's not grew for a ketuma. Not grew for a ketuma. So Rabbi says, listen to this. So let's say, halacha lemaisa, I can't use the stove. I can't use a stove because it's not grew for a ketuma. But I have a great chap. I'll just put the food item that I want to heat up next to the stove. So I can't put it on the stove because it's not grew for ketuma. Could I put it next to the stove? This way it gets heated up through the heat of the stove. So the Gemara says, Tocha v'gaba asra v'alismach v'ashapir dami. Odom loshna, do we say the only problem with using a stove that's not grew for a ketuma is if you put it on the stove or inside the oven, but putting it next to the stove or next to the oven is not problematic? Or maybe no, maybe there's no distinction. Tashma, shtei kiros hamat imos achas grua v'achas ketuma. So I'll say, if you have two stoves, one is right there next to each other. One is grufa ketuma, one is not. Mashin al gavi grufa ketuma af al gav de kasalik lehav lo miidach. So we'll say, what's the halacha? If you have two stoves, one next to the other, and one is grufa ketuma, one is not grufa ketuma, you could put food on the one that is grufa ketuma, even though what? The one that is grufa ketuma is deriving heat from the one that is not grufa and ketuma. So you see from here that getting heat from a stove that's not grufa and ketuma and putting it next to that stove is fine, as long as you don't put it on that stove or in that stove. To which the Gemara says, no. Doma shayni hasam dechevan the midla shalit be'avira. It might be different, Abosa, because even though stove number one, which is gruf and ketuma, is deriving heat from stove number two, which is not gruf and ketuma, the heat of stove number two travels into stove number one, but because the item on stove number two is suspended, so essentially the heat of the stove that is not gruf and ketuma dissipates before it reaches the pot that is on the stove that is grufa and ketuma, and therefore halacha lemaisa, it's not a raya. So we'll say, so the Gemara does not seem to answer that question. Tashma, Dam Rav Safra, Am Rav Chia, Kitma v'nislabsa. Let's listen to this interesting case. What happens if halacha lemaisa? So we'll say, so again, that's issue number two that we're going to have to deal with, about which we'll say you should know is very halacha lemaisa. Because essentially, what's it just what that shaila is, we're going to see that there are situations where you cannot go ahead and return an item to the blech on Shabbos. Right? Remember, again, we'll talk about that. There are essentially five conditions that are necessary in order to put food back on a blech on Shabbos. So this comes up all the time. Let's say I can't return food to the blech on Shabbos. Can I put it next to the blech on Shabbos? Good shayla, right? So again, I can't put it on. Can I put it next to? And you put it next to, again, it could get pretty hot. That's that shayla. So again, the Gemara doesn't seem to resolve it. We'll see what to do with it. Next. Tashma, Dam Rav Safra, Amar Rav Chia, Kitma v'nislabsa, somchin lo, u'mekaymen aleha, v'not l'mimeno machzirin lo. This is very interesting. So now the Gemara tries to bring another proof. Following situation. If you have a stove, and you were, you katma. Katma means you went ahead and you covered it with ash. So you did what you were supposed to do. You blunted the heat source. So what's the halacha? And I will say nislavsa means that, let's say, the coals reignited. So even though you put the cover of ash there, it reignited. That the heat source reignited itself. So sumchimla, you are permitted to put a food item next to it. Umekaymin aleha, v'notlin mimeno, umachzirin lo. And I will say, ultimately, again, you could keep food on top of that oven. You could take food from it. You could return food to it. Shmamina, lismoch nami. Kitma in, lo kitma lo. We'll say, what do you see from here? So we'll say, you see from here that halacha lemaisa, even to put food next to a stove requires kituma. the heat source must be blunted in order to put a food item next to the stove. Ulatanech, notlin mimena diktani kitma in lo kitma lo. But I'll tell you why this brisa doesn't make so much sense, or this statement about say is a little problematic. Because what did the statement say? That halacha lamaisa, when can you take food off of the stove? Only if it was katum. That doesn't make sense. But say to remove things from a stovetop, you could do whatever you want. Elatana notlin mishum machzirin. Rather, it only said ultimately the case of removing in order to teach you the halacha about returning. So you could remove it whenever you want. It's just that in order to go ahead and return it, halacha lemaisa, it must be grufa ketuma. Hachanami tanis sumchin mishum mekaimin. Therefore, perhaps also the statement, the braisa only said sumchin, about placing an item near the stove, ultimately, again, because of the case of maintaining it on the stove. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, that doesn't make sense. Hachi hashta hasam notlin u'machzirin b'chad makom hu. The case of notlin and machzirin occur on one spot. So I understand then why the Braisa would say, talk about a case of removing it from the fire, ultimately in order to teach you a case of maint or returning it to the fire, because all that is happening in one spot. The Gemara says, but the case of sumchin, remember, what do you sumich? Sumich means you're putting something next to the stove. Mekaimin means something on the stove. Is that happening in one place? Of course not. So we'll say, my hobby, what is the halacha? So what is the halacha? We'll say, can you go ahead and heat up an item by placing it next to the stove? By placing it next to the stove, even if the stove is not grufen ketuma. So tashma, kira shesiku abegefes ube'etzim, somchin la ve'in mekaimin. Ela imkein grufa ketuma, a stove that was heated with gefes and etzim. So let's remember again, gefes and etzim are the type of heat source where even after you ignite it, ultimately, again, it doesn't totally incinerate. It's still there. So therefore, there's a concern that you may come to stoke it. What's that? Locha somchin la. You can go ahead and put something next to that stove in order to allow it to get heated. Ve'ein mekaimin, but you can't put something on the stovetop itself. Ela imkein grufa uketuma, unless of course it was grufa and ketuma. On the other hand, gichalim sha'amamu, o shenasan alanu ura shal pishtan. If you have say coals that have died down, right? Or you went ahead and you put on it a piece of flax. Harehi ki ketuma. That is the equivalent, ultimately, again, of ketuma. So we'll say, it sounds like over here that halacha lemaisa, in order to go ahead and put food next to the fire, halacha next to the stove, halacha lemaisa, the stove must be grufa or ketuma as well. So we'll say, I'll tell you this piece now, because it's actually important. The halacha is, and we'll see, and again, I'm going a little bit out of halachic order, but in cases where you're not allowed to return food, let's say to the blech on Shabbos, and you want to put it by a place where it could heat up, so halacha lemaisa, you could put it in a spot where it could heat up, as long as it doesn't get yad soledes bo. So for example, let's say you want to take a cold solid out of the refrigerator on Shabbos morning, and you're not allowed to put it back on the blech for reasons that we'll discuss, but halacha lemaisa, you want to heat it up, you could put it next to the blech, right, or next to some other, or next to, right, or next to your hot plate, right, in a situation where it won't get yad soledes bo. Again, we'll talk about halacha lemaisa, how you could reheat things in other ways, but we'll get to that in just a bit. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nechmani, Amar Rabbi Oshia, kitma v'hovera, mashna lecha." So let's listen to this. This case is, you did your job. You have a stove, the stove has a heat source. And kitma means you covered it with ash, thereby blunting the cooking ability of the heat source. But what happened? Hovara means that somehow the heat source reignited. So even though you covered it with ash, blunting the cooking ability, it reignited. So what's the halacha? Mashin alea chamin shokmo kol tzarchon, v'tavshul shebishal kol tzarchon. So you are permitted to go ahead and maintain on that stove hot water that's fully heated or fully cooked food. Because we'll say in these cases, if the water is hot, right, the water was heated or the food is fully cooked, There's no concern of Shemi Yechata. There's no concern that you may come to stoke the heat source. Why? Because the food item is fully cooked already. Amud Beis. So what do you see from here? Shmamina. So the Gemara says something absolutely amazing here. Shmamina. The Gemara says, what do you see from here? Mitstamik v'yofelo mutra. So now we're taking the halachos of Bishul to a brand new level. You see, up until now, we thought that pretty much once food was fully cooked, you're done. Like, there's no more hirchos bishul anymore. Right? No more hirchos bishul. Now what the Gemara is introducing us to say is to a new concept called mitstamik v'yafalo. Now, mitstamik v'yafalo means that sometimes, even when things are fully cooked, further cooking is still beneficial. So what's it? Mitstamik literally means for something to contract or to condense. The assumption is that when something is fully cooked, so the more you cook it, the more you remove moisture. The more you remove moisture, the smaller or more constricted or condensed or contracted the item becomes. So Rashi says, so look at Rashi, mistamik. First Rashi, lam zayin amadeiz, mistamik. Mismait, the covets. So the idea over here is, mitstamik means, even once the food has been fully cooked, if additional cooking is still beneficial to it, nevertheless, apparently for Hilchos Bishul, that's not a problem. Because remember again, what did we just say before? That halacha lamaisa, if you have a food that is fully cooked, you are permitted to go ahead and maintain it on the covered fire, even though further cooking may still be beneficial to it. So what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lamaisa, once food is fully cooked, the halachos of Bishul are no longer really in effect. And even if subsequent cooking, what he calls now mitstamik v'yafalo, additional cooking could be beneficial, it's still mutter. To which the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a raya from this case. I'll tell you why. Shaini hocha dekitma. But remember again, this is a different case because how did the Brayso introduce this case? This is a case of where your heat source was covered, right? You remember it's kitma. Right, kitma means halacha lemaisa. You went ahead and covered your heat source. So that's why if you covered your heat source, halacha lemaisa, you could maintain food on it going forward, because halacha lemaisa, you did what you were supposed to do with the kira. Ihachi mai lememra. So I don't understand. So you're telling me now, Bosse, so sounds like what the case over here is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, what you're telling me is that if you went ahead and put food on the stovetop on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, and the food was fully cooked, and the heat source was covered with ash, even though subsequent cooking will be beneficial for the food, it's mutter. Okay, I think we already knew that beforehand. We already learned that. What's the chiddush? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Huvara itzrichale. Because we'll say, what's the case over here? The case is where, although you covered the heat source with ash, what happened here, Rabosai? The heat source reignited. Oh, so I would have thought, kevan de huvara hajula milsa kamaisa. We'll say, I would have thought that halacha lamaisa, maybe once the heat source reignites, that's as if what? That this flame is uncovered. And maybe once the heat source reignites, it's as if the flame is uncovered, which means you could no longer maintain food on this heat source on Shabbos anymore. To which the Gemara is Kamash Malon. Well, it's like Kamash Malon, once you've done your part of properly modifying the heat source on Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, by let's say covering it with ash, if it subsequently reignites, you are still permitted to maintain food on that stovetop, even once Shabbos has started. I'm Rabbi Arachanan B'Yochanan. Kitman B'Rohobra, similarly again, Rabbi B'Yochanan says, if you went ahead and you covered the heat source with ash, and then what? V'Hovara. Then ultimately the heat source was reignited. Mashna Lecham and Shuch Mukol Tzarchan. You are permitted to maintain on it hot water that was fully heated. The Tav Shel Shabishal Kol Tzarcho. Similarly, again, you could go ahead and also maintain on it food that has been fully cooked. Vafilu Gicharlim Shel Rosam. And even if the coals that you're using are made of rosam wood, type of wood. So what do you see from here? Shmamina mitstamik v'yafelo mutter. So what do you see from here? You see from here that even once food is fully cooked, even if subsequent cooking, that's mitstamik v'yafalo, right? Further cooking would be beneficial, it's still mutter. So Bosei to which the Gemara says, you can't bring that raya. Shiny hacha de kitma. Bosei says the Gemara, you can't bring a raya, because remember in this case, you did what you were supposed to do. You have a heat source, you want to maintain food on your heat source from Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. You covered the coals with ash, you're good to go. To which the Gemara says, Yehachi my lemmer. So what's the chiddush? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Chuvara itzrichale. Rebos, remember again, what happened over here? Although you covered the heat source with ash, what happened? Halacha lamaisa, the heat source reignited. It reignited. So it says the Gemara, Hainuach. Okay, but you already told me that case. Well, you already told me the case of a situation where if you have a heat source that was covered, you covered it with ash, and then what happens? You did what you were supposed to do. Something happens, and then the heat source reignites. So what is the Gemara telling me? Halacha lemaisa, you could still maintain food on that heat source. Why? Because you did what you were supposed to do, right? You fulfilled your obligation. You did what you were supposed to do. To which the Gemara says, Gichalim shal rosam is shrichalev. So we'll say the chiddush over here is Gichalim shal rosam. So we'll say Gichalim shal rosam, apparently, rosam wood, burned for a very long time. So I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, by rosam wood, if it reignites, that means I didn't do a good enough job of covering it with ash. Kamashmalon, even rosam wood, as long as you covered it with ash, even if it subsequently reignites, halacha lemaisa, you could still maintain food on it on Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Good. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yochanan. Kira shesikua begeves ubeitzim. If you have a stove that was fired up with gefes, the pulp of olives or grapes, or with wood, wow, listen to this case. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, if you have a stove, so you're halacha lemaisa, and you have, let's say now it's Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, and you have water that's not fully boiled, or food that is not fully cooked, halacha lemaisa, you could maintain it on your stovetop Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Okay. Akar. But once you take it off the stovetop, lo yachsir achi yigrof achi yitin efer. Once you go ahead and you take it off, right, once you take it off the fire on Shabbos, you cannot go ahead and return it to the fire until you go ahead and either clean out the coals or ultimately, again, cover it with dust, cover it with ash. Kasavar masnisen lahachzir tinan. So we'll say must be. So according to this approach, our Mishnah our Mishnah is talking about chazara. Avalishos mashin afa pi she'eno gara ve'eno katan. We'll say apparently again, Rabbi Yochanan is echoing the position of Chananya that for shehiya to maintain food on a fire going from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, you don't need to cover the fire as long as the food is at least 1/3 cooked. You're good to go. The only time you need to cover your fire, the only time you need a blech, quote unquote, on Shabbos is when you want to go ahead and return food to the fire on Shabbos. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Tarvayu Tanani. The truth is, we've learned both approaches. Lishos Tanini. So we'll say we learned about Shehiyah. Einosnin esapas besoch atanor imchashecha. Velo charara agabi gicholim. So we'll say, what do you see over here? So listen to this case. You are not permitted to put bread in the oven Erev Shabbos and not a biscuit on top of the coals on Erev Shabbos unless, of course, what? The outside of the bread or the biscuit becomes crusted. What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, if the outside of the bread or the outside of the biscuit becomes crusted, then what? Halacha lemaisa, it's permitted. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here, according to this Mishnah, it's saying that halacha lemaisa, for shehiyah purposes, you could go ahead and maintain food on a flame erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, even though what? Even though the food is not fully cooked, as long as the food is at least, we'll say for bread, 1/3 cooked, the outside is crusted, and even though what? Your fire is not grufa and ketuma. We learn this by Chazar as well. Beisil omrim af machzirin. Beisil says you can even return the food to the stovetop. Va'ad kan lo kasharo beisil el begrufa ketuma. But even Beisil only allows Chazara when the stovetop is grufa and ketuma. Ava b'she'ina grufa ketuma lo. But halach lemaisa, if the stovetop is not grufen ketuma, you are not permitted to go ahead and return it. But Rav Sheshes nami diyuka demas nisin kamashulon. Eninochi nami, Rav Sheshes is not coming to introduce new information. Rather, ultimately, again, Rav Sheshes is just coming to highlight the diuk. That in the case of the bread, it's not explicit, but the case of the bread, Rav Osai, is the case of an item that is quote-unquote one-third cooked and can be maintained on an open flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, without the flame being grufa and ketuma. Good. Amr of Shlomo Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan. Kira shesikua begeves ubeizim. Mashralat havshel shabishal kol tzarcho. V'chamet shuchmu kol tzarchon. V'afilu mitztamek v'yofelo. So listen to this. Comes on Rabbi Yochanan again and says, if you have a stovetop that's being heated with pulp or with wood, i.e. fuel that remains, that doesn't just get immediately incinerated, so what can you do? You could go ahead and maintain water that has been heated, or food that has been fully cooked, even if further cooking is beneficial. So, Amar Le'ahu Mid Rabbanan Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Ha Rav Shmuel Darmi Tarbayu Mitztamek V'yofelo Os Aser. Aye, but one second. Rav and Shmuel both said that's where further cooking is beneficial. You cannot maintain it on an open flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Amar Lei, he said to them, Amar Lei, Atu Les Ana Yada, do I not know that? Of course I know that. Don't know Yosef, Amar Yehudu, Amar Shmuel, Mitztamek V'yofelo Aser. Ki kamina l'cha, so when was I espousing this position? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi says Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that mitztamek v'yafalo. Rabbi, remember again, Rabbi Yochanan says even stronger. Rabbi Yochanan says like Chananya, that halacha l'mais, as long as the food is one-third cooked at the onset of Shabbos, you could go ahead and maintain it on an open flame. Right? That's Rabbi Yochanan. Like Chananya. But all the more so, again, if it's fully cooked at mitztamek v'yafalo, you could maintain it. Amar li Rav Ukva mimeshon Rav Ashi. So Rav Ukva of Meshon said to Rav Ashi, Asun, demekarviso l'Rav Shmuel, avidu k'Rav Shmuel. You who live close to the locale of Rav and Shmuel should conduct yourself like Rav and Shmuel. Anon na'avid k'Rav Yochanan. But we will conduct ourselves like Rav Yochanan. Amar li Abai l'Rav Yosef, ma'u l'shos. So Rav Osei Abai said to Rav Yosef, no, what is the halacha of maintaining food on an open flame? Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Armalei ha Rav Yehuda mashulei va'achil. So they brought a right. Rav Yehuda used to go ahead and maintain food on an open flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. So apparently, again, I must remember where they're asking about doing shihia with an oven or with a stove that is not grufen ketuma. Say, so can you go ahead and maintain food on a stovetop that is not grufen ketuma? So Rav Yehuda did it. If Rav Yehuda did it, it must be okay. Amrali bar minei Rabbi Yehuda, dechevan de mesukin hu, afilu b'shabes nami shari lemei aved lei. Rabbi Yehuda is not a good example, I will say. Rabbi Yehuda apparently, again, was a very ill individual. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, again, because he mamish, apparently was in a perpetual state of sakonis nefashis, they would have been able to cook food for him l'chatrila on Shabbos. So you can't bring a rye for Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, leave a loch mai. What's the halacha for us, for people like me and you? What's the halacha for maintaining food on a flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos? Does it have to be grufa or ketuma or not? So the Gemara says, Amar lei, b'sura mashu. In Sura, they used to do shihiyah on a stovetop that was not grufa and ketuma Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, as long as the food was cooked, k'maychol ben drusai, d'ha Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mari du'uvda, because after Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, we'll listen to this lashon, mari du'uvda, Rashi says, is medaktik b'ma'asov. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was mari du'uvda. He was the master of his actions. So we'll say, so Rashi translates that as someone who was very careful with his actions. We'll say, do you hear what that means? Isn't that the goal in life? To become a mari du'uvda. To become a master over your actions. Right? So many times in life we do things without thinking. Afterwards, I say to myself, I can't believe I did that. I didn't do it intentionally, but I just did it without thinking. The goal in life is to reach the level of being a mari du'uvda. I am a master over my actions. Nothing happens without my cognizance. Nothing happens without my awareness. And therefore, I'm exceptionally meticulous at what I do. I'm mari du'uvda. So what's I say? I don't know. I'm mari du'uvda. V'achil, and he would maintain a food on an open flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos without the stovtap being, it was only Machol Ben Drusai, without Grufa Getuma. Amravashi, Kamina Kamid Ravuna, Vishoyen Le, Kasa Dahanas of Achil. Ravashi says, I was once in front of Ravuna, and I saw him maintain a dish of fish hash. Kasa Dahanas says fish hash. So I say, how did you make fish hash? Very simple recipe. Fish kishkas inside a fish, a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, mix it all together, delicious. So I say, so what happens? So Rav Ashi says, I was once in front of Rav Huna, and I saw that he maintained fish hash on a flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, without it being Gruf and Ketuma. And I wasn't sure, what I wasn't sure was, V'lo Yedana, Im Yishum Deka Savar Mitztamek V'yafa Lo Mutter, is it because ultimately, again, he held that Mitztamek V'yafa Lo Mutter, that even if something, I will say now, again, the assumption with fish hash is that more it even if it cooks more, it gets better. Is that because he holds, as long as it's fully cooked, or at least one third cooked at the onset of Shabbos, it's good. Or maybe I will say fish hash is different. Because it has flour, additional cooking is actually detrimental. Rav Nachman said, Mitztamek v'yafalo aser, Mitztamek v'ralo mutter. So Rav Nachman said, I will say, that even if a food item is fully cooked, if additional cooking is beneficial, then you cannot maintain it on an open flame. It must be Gruf and Ketuma going into Shabbos. Mitztamek v'ralo. But if halacha l'maaseh additional cooking has a detrimental effect, ultimately, again, you can maintain it on an open flame from Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Klala de milson, the general rule is, called the ispe micha, mitztamek v'ralo. So we'll say this is a general statement. The Gemara says, in general, any dish that has flour, additional cooking is generally considered to be detrimental. Apparently, again, I guess when you continuously cook items of flour, I guess it dries out. Labar mitafshel delifta, with one exception, a dish of turnips. That apparently, when you made turnips, you put some flour in it, so additional cooking with turnips and flour is beneficial. The afagav de ispe micha mitztamek v'yavalo. Apparently, with turnips, Rabbi say, so halacha l'maaseh, even though it has flour, additional cooking is still beneficial. V'hani mili de ispe bisra, but that's only if you are cooking the turnips with meat and flour. Avales le bisra, but if you are cooking the turnips without meat, just flour, then mitztamek v'ralo. Then ultimately, continuous cooking is detrimental. V'chi ispe bisra nami lo amar. And furthermore, again, even you're cooking turnips with flour and with meat, additional cooking is only considered beneficial when, ultimately, again, ela delo kabay le l'orchin, only when you're not serving it to guests. Ava kabay le l'orchin mitztamek v'ralo. I will say, if you're serving it to guests, an additional cooking of turnips with meat and with flour is not going to be good. Why? Because Rebbe said when you're serving it to guests, you want the portions to look, you know, gesund. You want it to look robust. The problem is when you overcook, even though again the flavor is better, the portions look smaller, which is not good for company. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lifta daisa v'tamri mitztamek v'ra lohen. So we'll say the Gemara just ends off by saying that ultimately lifta, Rashi says, which is a dish that you make from figs, or daisa, which is some type of porridge, tamri, a dish that you make from dates. These items, if you continuously cook them, ultimately, again, it is detrimental. So we'll say, this is the end of the Gemara. Let me show you a very, very, very important piece of halacha. So we'll say, in Simen Reish Nun Gimel, in Siman Reish Nun Gimel, Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch deals with this entire sugya. Actually, all the cases of today, it's amazing, are all in this one Sif and Shulchan Aruch. So I just want to point out something very interesting. You'll take a look at this on your own today. Again, this is Aruch Chaim Reish Nun Gimel Hilchos Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah here has a fabulous introduction. And not the Mishnah Berurah needs to say now that it's fabulous. But the Mishnah Berurah actually gives a beautiful introduction here, which amazingly enough goes through our Gemara. And what the Mishnah Berurah frames is this entire Sugya comes down to one simple machlokes, Chananya and the Rabbanan. So we'll say, so just see a picture it this way. The kitchen, according to Chananya and the Rabbanan, looks dramatically different. According to Chananya, the goal on Erev Shabbos is that my food should be cooked Kemaychal Ben Drusai. As long as my food is one third cooked at the onset of Shabbos, I'm good to go. I could keep food on the flame. Again, remember, no ovens. Well, I mean, you could heat up food in the oven, but right now we're talking about the stovetop. So as long as my food is 1/3 cooked at the onset of Shabbos, halacha lemaisa, I'm good. I don't need a blech. I don't need anything. You could maintain food. What's Chananya's logic? We'll say, remember again, the whole idea of grufa and ketuma, which means either removing the heat source or blanketing with ash to blunt its cooking ability, is a concern that on Shabbos, I may come to adjust the heat source in order to go ahead and hasten or expedite the cooking process. Chananya says that as long as the food is 1/3 cooked at the onset of Shabbos, that food is edible. Once food is edible, there's no concern of Shema Yechate. Therefore, according to Chananya, halacha lemaisa, as long as the food is 1/3 cooked, you don't need to do anything with your heat source at the onset of Shabbos. The Rabbanan say no. The Rabbanan say no, not true. As long as that food is not fully cooked at the onset of Shabbos, there is a concern of Shema Yechate. How do you take care of the concern of Shema Yechate? You adjust your heat source, either by removing the coals, removing the heat source, or by blanketing the heat source with ash, with heat. So we'll say, just to understand, contemporarily, how do we perform this? That's a blech. Right? That's a blech. What is a blech? A blech is you take an item, you put it over the heat source, thereby blunting the ability of the heat source to go ahead and cook. So we'll say, I'll tell you something very interesting. There's a fundamental interesting machlok seen Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, about whether or not your blech has to cover the dials on the stove. The Baron Cutler felt that the blech must cover the dials. Why? It makes a lot of sense. Why? Because what's the whole concern of Rebbe Osai? What's the whole concern? I see Menachem, right? Good. Excellent. Right? The whole concern is Shema Yechate. So it's very nice that you put a piece of metal on top of the fire. But Rebbe Osai, most of us, right, are not adding fuel to the fire. We're just generally adjusting a dial. So Rebbe Aaron Cutler says that you have to cover the dials. We'll say none of that, by the way. But in fact, Rebbe Aaron Cutler really felt that even Me'ikra Adin, if you just cover the dials, that might even be enough. Interesting. That might be enough. We don't. Again, he didn't say that halacha lemaisa, which must. Rav Moshe felt that no, as long as you're doing something to blunt the heat source, that's going to matter. So how do we paskin? Then we'll say, this is incredibly important because halacha lemaisa, I would venture to say most of us are keeping food on most of us. Many people are keeping food on need food to be heated up going into Shabbos. So do we pass like Chananya, that as long as it's 1/3 cooked, you don't need a blech? Or we pass like the Rabbanan, they know if it's not fully cooked, so we'll say, watch this, here we go. So it says the Shulchan Aruch Nation in Gimel, Kira, Shiasui ke kedera v'shofsin al piya kedera namayla, v'yishu makam, let's skip a little bit, v'huska v'gefesh shupsol shal zesun v'itzim, aser li tein alea tavshami ba'od yom lishas alea, ele imkein nisbashel kol tzarecho, v'ho mitztamek v'ralo. Dileka lemechash shema yichata, o shu chai shol nisbashal klal, the chayvan shu chai masiach taita menu. Fine. So let's listen to this. Right, so therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, Rabbi said, listen to this very carefully. If Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to go ahead and maintain food on an open flame out of Shabbos and Shabbos, so we'll say, just listen to what this case is. I want to keep my food on the burner out of Shabbos going into Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says you cannot do that unless, of course, the food is fully cooked and any additional cooking would be detrimental. That's how Shulchan Aruch paskins. That is the only way to maintain food on an open flame going into Shabbos, like the Rabbanan. However, the Gemara says, avalim nispashok, tesla nispashok, kotarcho, so skip a little bit. So he says, ele imkein, so let's listen to this. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to go ahead, if let's say you have food that is cooking on Erev Shabbos, and it's not fully cooked at the onset of Shabbos, can you maintain it on a flame? And the answer is yes, as long as you put a blech on. So what says the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is, if you don't want to use a blech, and you just want to maintain food on an open flame going into Shabbos, you can do so, provided that the food is fully cooked and any additional cooking would be detrimental. But if you have food that is not fully cooked, The only way to maintain it on a heat source going into Shabbos is what? Is if it is on a blech. It must be on a blech going into Shabbos. And I will say, the Mishnah Berurah points out that even if you're going to use a blech, the halacha is that what? Your food must be cooked at least kimaychol ben drusai. You must make sure that your food is at least one third cooked prior to the onset of Shabbos, or, here's the other possibility, or that what? Or it's raw. And I will say, what does that mean? Because if it's raw, the assumption is what? That halacha l'maaseh, you're probably not eating it that night. You're not going to eat it till the next day. And therefore, because you're not going to eat it till the next day, halacha l'maaseh, there's no concern of shema yichateh. So we'll say, this is a very important halacha. Because sometimes people, you know, whatever, everybody has a different Erev Shabbos schedule. Sometimes people are doing things a little bit more last minute. If you're cooking last minute and you're maintaining food on top of a blech, so first of all, again, if you're maintaining food, you can only maintain food on an open fire if halacha lemaisa, the food is fully cooked. And even if you're going to use a blech, halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says the food must be cooked at least one third prior to the onset of Shabbos, or must be raw. So we'll say, where does this come up? So this often comes up, by the way, with your chalent, right? So we'll say, with chalent, so halacha lemaisa, a person has to be careful to make sure that chalent is cooked at least a third before Shabbos, or if you can't do that, put it up right before Shabbos. Truth is, crackpots are a little bit easier also in general, because the whole yisod of a slow cooker is that by definition, people generally don't try to expedite cooking in a slow cooker. But okay, so listen to that. So that's the first position of the Shulchan Aruch. Now I want to show you something amazing. Then the Shulchan Aruch goes on. Now he brings down a bunch of different cases, which you look at. I see someone just posted the link in the chat. You can see the Shulchan Aruch over here as well. So he goes on. He says, "Mutar lismoch kedera basama chutza." We're going to leave aside the case. Listen to this. The Rama now comes along, and the Rama says, "Well, say here we go." The Eishomrim. Look what the Mechaber does. So the Mechaber first quotes the opinion of the Chachamim. And he says that if you want to maintain food on an open flame, Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, the food must be fully cooked, and any additional cooking must be detrimental. That's the only way to maintain food on an open flame. Otherwise, again, you must use a blech. Then the Mechaber quotes Yeshomen. Others say that as long as the food is cooked, kemaychol ben drusai, as long as the food is cooked like one third of its cooking, you can go ahead and maintain it on an open flame. I will say, like the opinion of Chananya. So it comes along the Shulchan Aruch and now quotes Yesh Omrim like Chananya. Here's where it gets wild. I'm sorry. Ocean is Bashal Kol Tzarcho. So listen to this. So we'll say, and that's the second opinion. And the Rama says, V'nagu lahakel kisvara hachrona. And amazingly enough, the Rama says that halacha lemaisa, and one could be mekel like the second opinion. So I will say this is really quite wild. So just to follow the progression. The Mechaber quotes the opinion of the Rabbanon, which is that in order for food to be maintained on an open flame erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, so ultimately again the food must be fully cooked, and if the food is not fully cooked, you have to use a blech. Then the Mechaber quotes, but there is a second opinion, the opinion of Chananya, that as long as the food is one third cooked, you can maintain it on an open flame going into Shabbos, right? And the only time you would need a blech is less than one third. The Rama comes along and says, and by the way, we could be mekel, right? Incredible. So the Rama says that you could be mekel, and as long as your food is one third cooked, halacha lemaisa, you could maintain it on an open flame going into Shabbos. Now both sides, just you should know, halacha lemaisa, general practice is not like this Rama. And general practice is that halacha lemaisa, we use a blech, and in fact, by Hilchos Shabbos, we're machmir, and we're understanding so because, again, if you're wrong, if you make a mistake by Hilchos Shabbos, it's pretty significant, and therefore, contemporary halacha lemaisa practice, Rabbi Osei, is as follows, that pretty much, we don't use an open flame in Shabbos at all. We just don't use an open flame. Not only do we not use an open flame on Shabbos, but halacha lamaisa, even when using a blech, the ideal is that what? Your food should be at least 1/3 cooked at the onset of Shabbos. That's the goal. That ultimately, even food that I'm maintaining on a blech on Shabbos should be at least 1/3 cooked. So we kind of take this little bit of a hybrid approach. On one hand, again, we accept the Chachamim that really we're not going to maintain any food in an open flame unless it's 100% cooked. And even if it's 100% cooked, we're still not going to use an open flame. But Allah HaMaisi, even with a blech, you should make sure that the food is at least 1/3 cooked at the onset of Shabbos. And if the food can't be 1/3 cooked, then what? Interestingly enough, better to have it what? Better to have it raw. Now, I will say, just an important halacha, what happens if one forgot to put a blech on Shabbos? We'll say this could happen. Let's say I had just a crazy night of Shabbos. I left the chicken soup, on the open flame going into Shabbos, and I realized, Shmir Shabbos Kilchos HaPaskins, that halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and put a blech on your fire on Shabbos. Not everybody agrees with that. B'Shmir Shabbos Kilchos HaPaskins, that you can put a blech even on the fire on Shabbos. Now, I will say, now we're going to get to it, but just in order, I know it's late. But there's nothing to do. So just to show you one important piece over here, which is, what about Chazara? Because again, remember, the Mishnah here mentioned this, so it's important to understand it. Chazara, we'll say, means halacha l'maisa, returning something to the fire on Shabbos. So we're going to get to this more, but I just want to give you a little bit of a panoramic view. So I will say, so right now, everything we've been speaking about is maintaining food from Friday afternoon into Shabbos. So pretty much our halacha l'maisa approach is use a blech, and even with a blech, make sure that your food is at least 1/3 cooked at the onset of Shabbos, and if not 1/3 cooked, better to be raw. Better to be raw. Okay, I'm saying, now let's fast forward a little bit. So what about once I take food off the blech, putting it back on the blech on Shabbos? So I will say, here these halachas take two different forms. Friday night and Shabbos morning. So in general, Shmir Shabbos says that in order to go ahead, Shmir Shabbos Kilchos says that in order to go ahead and put food back on the blech, you really need the following criteria. Number one, the fire is covered. Number two, the food is fully cooked. Number three, the food is still warm. Number four, you had in mind to return it at the time you took it off. And number five, you're still holding the pot. So what's this? So just to illustrate this, you want to serve soup on Shabbos night. And remember, this is all Shabbos, not Yantiv. Yantiv you could cook, so it's not a problem. You want to serve soup on Friday night, and you want to keep the pot of soup warm. People might want more soup later on. No problem. You take the soup off the blech, because remember, we don't serve from on top of a blech. Because remember, again, even on top of a blech, it's still considered to be on top of the fire. And we don't go ahead and serve out of a kli rishon. You don't serve, ultimately, again, from a pot on the fire. So you take it off the blech. But I want to be able to put it on, so no problem. I just have to make sure, again, soup is fully cooked. Soup is still warm when I put it back. The fire is still covered. I had in mind when I took it off to put it back. And I keep a hand on the handle of the pot. As long as halacha l'maisa, I adhere to those five conditions, I could return food back to the blech on Shabbos. Now, I will say, the truth of Shmir Shabbos says, you could even make it with 4 and 5. Meaning, even if I didn't have explicit intent to put it back, and even if for some reason I let go of the pot, as long as the first three are the ikkar, fire is covered, food is fully cooked, food is still warm, you could return it to the blech. If you're missing any of those three, you can't return it. Which I will say, now fast forward a little bit. Now, once you understand that, so you understand now why on Shabbos morning. Let's fast forward a little bit. Shabbos morning, you want to put food back on the blech. So let's analyze this. Can you do it? Shabbos say, we'll discuss. With liquids, you cannot. Because once a liquid cools down, again, we'll see this. Once a liquid cools down, we hold yesh bishel achar bishel, right? Once a liquid cools down, if you heat it up again, that is bishel. So to reheat a liquid that has cooled down is an iser, quite possibly an iser d'oraisa. That you can't do. But let's say again, you have a solid food item, a solid food item that you would like to reheat on Shabbos morning. I'd like to put it back on the blech. Can I put it back on the blech? Both say, so we know the answer is no, right? No, you can't put it directly back on the blech. Because remember, again, it doesn't satisfy the criteria. Number one, because remember, again, it no longer has any of its residual initial heat. In order to put something back on the blech, remember, again, the fire must be covered, the item must be fully cooked, and the item must still be warm. If you're missing any one of those three, you cannot put the item directly back on the blech. Now, we will see in coming days a concept of kedera agabe kedera. See, even when you can't put something directly on the blech, sometimes you could put something on top of something else that is already on the blech. But I will say, but again, it's very important. People make this mistake of not realizing you can never take something out of your refrigerator and put it back on the blech on Shabbos morning. There are no circumstances, unless it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you could do that. But on Shabbos, you can't do that because remember, again, it's intuitive. Because I will say, the halachos of chazara, remember, essentially you have to view it as like this. The only time you could put something back on the blech is when it has an unsevered bond with the blech. There's that beautiful bond between a food item and the blech. And as long as that bond is not severed, then you could return it. Once the bond is severed, you can't return it. So the ikar of that bond is food is fully cooked, fire is covered, and food is still warm. As long as that food is still warm, the connection between the food and the blech is still there. Therefore, you could return it. Once you put it in the refrigerator and it's lost its residual heat from the initial cooking process, under no circumstances can you put it back on the blech. How to reheat that food? In Meretz Hashem, we will discuss. That's Kedira Agabe Kedira. So now you begin to see everything in its totality. So halacha lemaisa, in its essence, we really adopt the view of the Rabbanon when it comes to Shehiyah. And therefore, again, we do not maintain food on an open flame. The truth is, even though the Rabbanon said you could do it when the food is fully cooked, we don't even do that by fully cooked food. Halach lamaisa, we use a blech. We don't use an open flame on Shabbos. And even then, ideally, we'd like your food to be fully cooked at the onset of Shabbos. If it can't be fully cooked, it should at least be kemachal ben drusai. And if it can't be kemachal ben drusai, then what? Then let it be raw. And that's all for Shia. That allows you to take food into Shabbos. Once Shabbos has started, in order to go ahead and allow the food to be taken off and put back on, the five tenai chazora. Food must be fully cooked, food must be still warm, fire must be covered, you have to have intent to return it when you take it off, and ultimately, again, still be holding onto the pot. If, for some reason, you didn't have conditions 4 and 5, as long as you had 1, 2, and 3, halacha lamaisa chazara will be mutter. Now, once you understand that, you understand why the next morning, putting stuff back on the blech directly is not going to work, because condition number 3, i.e. that the food still has some of its residual heat from the initial act of cooking, is lost. Bond between the food and the blech has been severed, and therefore chazara will be aser. How to reheat food when you can't go ahead and return it to the blech? In Meretz Hashem, we will see on coming days. I will say shikayach. I'll stop over here for today. Wishing everyone a good night. I'll send out the schedule of Meretz Hashem for the rest of Chol HaMoed. Hope everyone has a meaningful and uplifting day. Shkoyach.